This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nat.
So, Ken, how are we going to rebuild America?
With jobs, of course.
Who's going to rebuild America?
Working people with jobs.
That's right, and this October 2nd, triggered by the AFL-CIO, SEIU Local 1199, and the NAACP, now joined by hundreds of organizations, we're headed en masse to Washington, D.C. to demand put people to work and back to work.
Jobs, economic security, a comprehensive immigration reform, a safe and renewable energy policy, and a reversal of national priorities from making wars to meeting human needs. That's the message. Later on, we'll talk with Arlene Holt Baker, Executive Vice President of the AFL-CIO, and George Gresham, President of 1199 SEIU. But first, a recent jobs rally on Wall Street to fill the buses to go to Washington, D.C. on 10 to 10, the October 2nd March on Washington. One nation working together.
My name is Terrence Melvin, and I serve as the Secretary Treasurer of the New York State AFL-CIO and the Region Director for the Coalition of Black Trade Unions. We are going to start something different. We are joining a national movement. 2 years ago, our country was going through the worst recession in decades. We're seeing home foreclosures, financial institutions failing, unemployment rate rising. And we came together and we decided to hope for what could be a reality of this country, that the country would look out for all of its people, not just the rich folk, but all folks in this country would be looked out for. So we put together a movement 2 years ago. We elected a Congress and a president that was supposed to go in and do what we wanted done, which is change and make our dream a reality. But oh, what happened? There were some obstructionists in the room. Some folks that were happy with the status quo. It reminds me of a man named Moses. Saw his people that were trapped in slavery. And he went to old Pharaoh and he continued to say, "Let my people go." And finally Pharaoh let them go. But that ain't the end of the story. Pharaoh stayed on their track as they got down the road. And that's these obstructionists. We made it through the election 2 years ago, but these obstructionists have been on our back. We are at our Red Sea moment. We have to decide whether we're going to stand up to old Pharaoh and go past that Red Sea, or are we going to succumb to old Pharaoh and his old trick. I say you ought to join me in Washington on October 2nd to give Pharaoh notice that our people are free, that we're going to stand strong, and one nation working together. We are looking for an economy that works for all of us. We are looking for jobs, 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 jobs. We will not give up. We will continue to fight. We're going to send a message to everyone in Washington, friend and foe alike. You have to decide if you are with everyday Americans or if you are against them. And if you are against us, we're going to send you home. So I ask you to join me on this historic march. Everybody remembers the March of 63. They remember Martin's "I Have a Dream" speech. It's time for us to make that dream a reality. It's time for us to stand up like we never stood up before. I say we're going to stand up on election day. We're going to get all of our friends, all of our neighbors, all of our co-workers out to the polls, and we're going to show those obstructionists that we will move forward. It's about one nation working together. Black, white, yellow, red, and brown, all coming together, no matter what your religion, no matter what your sexual orientation, we're talking about us coming together, reclaiming our rightful place. And we will do that on October 2nd, 2010. We're going to load up buses to put Washington on notice. We will not step down. We will not step back. We will not retreat. Yeah. Victory is ours.
Thank you. 10 to 10.
Will you join me? Will you join me? Will you join me? Will you make a difference?
We're talking about jobs and we're talking about the unemployed. And now we have someone that's going to speak from the heart, from personal experience, an unemployed mother of four, Sister Sabrina Greenwood.
I am one of the 450 station agents that were laid off by the New York City Transit Authority. As a station agent, I help thousands of people every day get to their jobs. I help their kids get to school, and I've helped people get to doctor's appointments, and I help the tourists explore our great city of New York. I gave up weekends and holidays, and I've done this for 5 years. While the city slept, I worked. While the city went to work, I was still at work. And what did I get for my dedication? No service package, no gold watch, just a pink slip. The 450 station agents who got laid off this year all have the same story. So do hundreds of thousands of workers across the country. I am also one of thousands of single mothers working in the country who have to worry even more about their families because they no longer have a job. Being a laid off worker, I have put everything on hold. Hopes have been deferred. My children are strong and will overcome this. All across the country, the broken dreams of family like mine are becoming all too familiar story. This story is quickly becoming a national nightmare. The time has come for the nation to begin working together, for us to stop funding Wall Street and wars on foreign land. It is time for this country to take care of Main Street. It is time to take care of our family and your family. It is time to invest in America, not in the stocks and bonds, but in this country's most valuable assets, its people. It is time to come to reinvest in America, rebuild our mass transit system, put our people back to work, the funding for public transportation should be one of our priorities. Public transportation is the lifeline of our cities and our best way to promote green jobs. Time has come to sow the seed of the future, to invest in more jobs. The time has come to protect public transportation jobs in this country. Mass transit is the oil that makes the gears of our economy work. Let's get the country back working, one nation working together. 10 to 10.
Yeah,
thank you.
10 to 10. Yeah. 10 to 10. 10 to 10. 10 to 10. 10 to 10. 10
to 10. Next we have representing the Unemployed Workers Action Group, Chris Williams.
I am the face of the unemployed. I have been unemployed as a 99er, and I've lost my benefits. Our organization is out here to represent the 99ers across the nation that have lost their benefits and need jobs. Our main focus is to get jobs. 3 weeks ago, Unemployed Action Workers, UWAG, had a rally. On today, 3 days later than that, Glenn Beck said, these people are un-American. Glenn Beck is wrong. We are Americans, and we want to be put back to work. Unemployed Workers Action are championing to use the new Step and Now bill, which is up in Congress when Congress returns. We are also pressing to get President Obama to hold a town hall meeting for all unemployed 99ers and underemployed. We must mobilize. We will definitely see you on 10-2.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right.
10-2-10. 10-2-10. Jobs will get a job. One nation getting a job, and we are on the move. One nation getting a job. Going to Washington just to get a job.
Now we talk to Arlene Holt Baker, Executive Vice President of the AFL-CIO, and George Gresham, President of 1199 SEIU, about the October 2nd march, 10 to 10, One Nation Working Together.
I just heard Richard Trumka, who is the head of the AFL-CIO, say that Labor Day is going to be a point of demarcation for the working class. Arlene, why would that be?
Working people in this country are suffering so much with this great recession. This Labor Day, our message is about jobs. That is jobs, jobs, jobs. The recent numbers that we just received were still 9.6% unemployment. So we have drawn our line in the sand to say that And if America is going to go forward, we must create jobs.
And George Gresham, there doesn't seem to be the political will to do what's necessary in Congress and even the president to create those jobs. And you have initiated a call to action along with President Jealous of NAACP, which has picked up a lot of steam for October 2nd. Talk about that.
It is a day that we want all working people, those who have a job, those who would like to have a job, those who are in unions, those who are non-union, all progressive organizations, to come to Washington to stand up for the change that we voted for 2 years ago. I still believe that the president wants to do the right thing. I believe that the elected officials need to hear from working people and getting a progressive coalition of all diversities to stand up and to say that we demand the change that we voted for. Because when you look back 2 years ago, working people really were pushed into a point where they were really fed up with being taken advantage, that corporate entities were getting the big breaks, and that the middle class were beginning to suffer in a way that history had never shown before since the Great Depression. People came together to elect our first African-American president because people believe that he represents the ideals of working people in this country, going to stand up for working people, allow our generation, our next generation, to do better than us rather than those that is projecting, well, they're going to do worse than us, so that people are now coming back together to say that we demand that change that we voted for 2 years ago, and we want our elected officials to know that we're very serious and that the voice of working people is not represented by the what's being out there as the Tea Party, but that the diversity that you're going to see on October 2nd in D.C.
A major economic advisor of President Obama has just left the public service and specifically called for a major stimulus bill. And already within less than 24 hours, President Obama has said, no, that is not the direction that he's headed in. So what is this call for jobs? How do we get it then with what would seem to be tremendous recalcitrance on the part of the administration? Arlene?
We are suffering from a recession, and so many of our communities are in a depression. This is a time for boldness. We will be there united in this call, that it is time for us to move forward with bold plans. This is not a time for us to start to roll back on the taxes for the richest among us. This is a time for us to make sure that there is security for all of Americans. Let's think about what would have happened. Had we not had the initial stimulus package, we would be in a worse position than we are today. With that stimulus, we were able to create 3 million jobs. Without it, we would be an additional 3 million jobs in the hole, and that would add to the already 15 million that are unemployed. So it is a time for boldness, and frankly, a Roosevelt deal still makes some sense in this kind of crisis that we're facing. We are going to be on that mall and hoping that our politicians hear us, because this is not a time to have a party of no, a party of division, a party that would rather divide us and take us backwards. We will push for bold economic actions to help put America back to work.
And what about such proposals as a financial transactions tax, and what also about the clamor on both sides of the fence in Washington to have a balanced budget, despite the fact that there's no real way to have a real stimulus package with a balanced budget?
As it relates to the financial transaction tax, the AFL-CIO and many of labor believe that it's necessary. Some economists certainly agree with us. Wall Street got us into this mess, and Wall Street should be able to pay. So a transaction tax would be less than 1% for every transaction that they make on Wall Street. That is not going to hurt. We think the transaction tax would bring estimates up to $300 to $700 billion. We certainly support it. We have a short-term deficit problem. If we want to get out of the problem, then we have got to put Americans back to work, and that can get us out. When people aren't working and when you don't work, you cannot buy things. When you don't work, you cannot support your states, your counties, your local governments because your tax base has been devastated. So short-term deficit problem is the way we see it, not long-term. And the way to get us out of this ditch is bold economic solutions that put us back to work call it stimulus, but we've got to be bolder.
George Gresham, the creation of jobs for those who can't get into the job market, those permanently locked out of the job market, those who have been displaced, replaced, and laid off or fired. What is it that we really want to push forward with on October 2nd?
One, we definitely need to make sure that we have jobs filled. And when you talk to the average working person in this country, they are certainly concerned about the deficit and balance in the budget, but they are more concerned about unemployment and the rise in that. And I think that for us to, at a time, to say that we need to shut down programs because we want to balance the budget at the same time that we want to give to those that are wealthy that can afford to pay their fair share, that we want to continue to give them breaks on taxes. We expect that the administration that we put in office because we felt that we want to change and that many of us still believe that that is what they want to do. We need to be the wind beneath their sails. We need to shore up our people in Congress and say, do what the working people of this country have sent you there to do for working people in this country. That's one thing. But practically and politically speaking, no matter what agreements or disagreements people have with this administration, if we're going to live up to the change that we voted for, then we also need to keep control of Congress, and so that if 10 to 10 doesn't translate into a movement of working people in this country to go to the polls to make sure that the elected officials that we vote for are ones that are willing to stand up and to be bold and look for working people in this country, then we would have had a good major day of ventilation, but it's not a good way to change the country. And so this certainly represents more just a day of progressive, diverse Americans coming together, but it's a way of us getting ready for the action that is going to return this country to the values of working people, the job programs, and to take it back from the corporate interests, take it back from big business, and return this country to the people who built this country, and that is the working people and those who are looking to promote themselves into the middle class. So the working poor and the middle class needs to get a break from government.
And Arlene, the demonstration, One Nation Working Together, how is the mobilization going forward nationwide? And to George Gresham, I'd like you to talk about organizing in the New York City area and actually also in the East Coast where your union spreads out into.
The labor movement thinks that this is the right thing to do. We are so excited about coming together with our partners in the progressive movement. This is a time. We're mobilizing in a major way, reaching out all across the country, the AFL-CIO is, to get our people involved. People will be coming from Michigan, even California. Across this nation, we will be represented in large, large numbers, labor and community together. Our members, well, if they're not able to get here from Oregon or Alaska, they will be knocking on doors on 10 to 10 with a message about one nation working together for economic change and moving our country forward for jobs, justice, and education for all. We are totally all in because we realize that we must be together if we are going to move the country forward, and we don't intend to let anyone take us backward. So we are united in this effort because we realize that we will either sink together or we will be lifted together. And it is our intent after 10 to 10 that we will move and this tide will be lifted. We will move then to 11-2 to the polls. And then we will move to ensure that we have the kind of public policies that address justice and jobs.
And George Gresham, organizing on the East Coast. And I heard a figure of 2,000 buses in New York City leaving for Washington. Is that accurate?
We have those buses on reserve at this point. And we're running into a bus problem, as a matter of fact. There's a lot of energy. And I think it's important for us to identify that this is a broad stream of America and that we have many people at the table and many progressive organizations. We have people who are very concerned about the immigration policies. We have the peace movement. We have the Progressive Lesbian Gay Coalition. We have the faith community. We, of course, the labor and the civil rights community. And it's a broad coalition, and it's something that I have never seen the kind of energy in my lifetime around such an issue. The time is right. There is a lot of energy both in New York, but in the northeastern region of this country, and that the energy around this is pre-Labor Day, and we expect that after Labor Day, that it will only get stronger, that the intense, you know, people are distracted because many people are on vacation now. People are getting their children ready to go back to school, and so they have other family responsibilities at this point, but we think that after Labor Day, that the interest is really going to compel. And I believe at that point, the problem that we're going to have, where can we locate the buses?
we're already starting to have that problem, so why not, George?
That's a great problem to have. One of the things, since, George, you mentioned immigration, it's one of the burning salient issues, and it's taking more and more of a rightward drift. There's tremendous xenophobia. There's tremendous Islamophobia that we see building in this country. Where does the issue of immigrants as workers and their rights come into this picture, and the issue of poverty in this call to Washington, D.C. to put people to work? Where does it fit in?
It is the centerpiece of what we're trying to do. This is an issue that working people in this country want to produce. There's no such thing as a person that doesn't want to work. There is many, too often, a thing where people can't find decent work, decent values to take care of their time. And then what has happened is that right-wing forces has tried many times to turn working people against each other. I often, in union meetings, start a conversation when we want to talk about immigration. I always start the conversation, well, how many people in this room are 100% Native American? Raise your hand. And when no one in the room very rarely can raise their hand to that, then we quickly come to the understanding that we're all immigrants in this country, and that the policy for immigrants must be one that is fair, that welcomes people to this country, because there are multiple conversations that are not being held on that very complicated subject. So it ends up being that people turn against each other because they have no hope, and they can't identify clearly who the enemy is. But I think that when you have a real conversation about the fairness and comprehensive immigration reform in this country, if you allow working people to see that all people want in this country is the ability to take care of their families, to make sure that that next generation has a chance to do better than they have done, then we can understand the fairness and the importance that we do have comprehensive immigration reform in this country. And I think that 10 to 10 gives us an opportunity for many people in this country who may not have had an open-minded view around immigration, that when we're all standing up for justice and for us to realize that we can't have a good jobs program if we don't have support of all of the communities in this country, and nor can we achieve comprehensive immigration reform or many of the other issues that working people need in this country, unless we form a coalition that can't be divided by the way we used to get divided, so that corporate entities can take advantage of working people.
Arlene, the AFL-CIO has had a youth summit. How do we get youth involved? What's there for youth in terms of getting on those buses to Washington, D.C. on October 2nd?
Everything I'm hearing from the young people, they are excited about doing this activity to Washington, getting to the mall. We're getting calls daily from college campuses and from our youth committees saying, we have a bus, we can fill it up, where can we go? The energy is there. Young people know that they have so much at stake because they too are suffering. These are young people that don't know what the future looks like for them. Many of them are in college, yes, but they struggle holding their breath every day, trying to realize if they'll be there the next semester because the economy is so very tough for them. They worry about the jobs that will be there for them in the future. And they're particularly concerned about the environment. So when you talk to young people, they're very connected to the environmental movement, and they're connected to jobs, but they're talking about good green jobs. So they are excited, and they will be there represented. The thing about 10 to 10 is that it will mirror all of America. You will.
And what exactly is 10 to 10? I'm not sure everybody understands.
The date is October 2nd, 2010, and we're calling.
Gotcha.
So that's it, October 2nd, 2010. The mall will be filled with the faces of those who look like all of America, and there will be a story to tell of their plight, but also there will be a story to tell of hope, and there will be a message sent to the politicians to remind them strongly that they are there because we want to see policies that we voted for in 2008, and we want those policies moved. And when we move to the ballot box on November the 2nd, we're moving with a policy agenda. George is absolutely right. We are not gathering on that mall just for the sake of a rally or a march. We are gathering on that mall in a way to move America in the right direction.
There is a One Nation Working Together website.
I was going to
that you can go to, and please get information from there. Also, our organization, most of the conveners, have links on our own website, so our own homepage at 1199seiu.org. Also can get a link to the One Nation Working Together. But we have a website that we will make information available for people. On the issue of the youth, I thought that that was such an important question because we're doing this for the youth. As a labor leader, that my obligation is to the members that I represent, and I take that very seriously and proudly. But I also know as a grandparent that my obligation to make sure that my granddaughter has a future in this country that allows her to live up to her potential and allow her to work hard and get the appropriate rewards for that. And so that if we don't have the youth there that day, then we failed in our message. But from all that I'm hearing, and they are some of the original many youth organizations and student organizations are some of the original conveners of this march. And so their excitement, and they're excited, that is what made the difference in 2008, and that is going to be the strong message again. That once again, America, young and old, from all backgrounds, from all faiths, from all communities, but people that believe in the prospect and the potential of this country and the progressive agenda that we voted for will stand up and demand the change that we voted for in 2008 on 10 to 10.
On 10 to 10, we're going to see you in Washington, D.C. We've been speaking with George Gresham, president of SEIU Local 1199, and Arlene Holt-Baker, executive vice president of the AFL-CIO. See you in Washington.
We'll see you on 10 to 10.
Take care. Thank you.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.